And Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn 277. Now I see, whate'er betide, all is well if Christ be mine. He has promised to provide, may he teach me to resign. 277.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God, from the book of the Revelation, reading together from chapter 7, and then also the first 7 verses in chapter 14. First, reading together, book of the Revelation, chapter 7, and then the first 7 verses in chapter 14. And after these things I saw 4 angels standing on the 4 corners of the earth, holding the 4 winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the 4 angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the 4 beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honour, and power, and might be unto our God for ever and ever. Amen." And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." And he said unto me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." The first 7 verses in chapter 14. And I looked, and lo, a Lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers, harping with their harps. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. May the Lord bless those two portions of his word of truth to us. And help us in prayer. O Lord, once more we would seek to draw near unto thee and at the throne of thy grace. And thou hast bidden us, Lord, that we might call upon thy great and thy holy name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And Lord, we come before thee through the merits and the person of thy dearly beloved Son, through his name, what he has done for sinners, and oh, the blessing and the promise that thou wilt look down upon us, regard the prayer of the destitute. Bring us each, Lord, we pray thee, at this time, into the sweetness of that fellowship and union with thyself. And, O Lord, prepare our hearts. May we know, Lord, the humbling grace of thy Spirit upon us, to keep us low, Lord, and at thy feet, and to bless us, Lord, with an hearing ear and an understanding heart. Oh, do give unto us, Lord, a spiritual appetite for thyself. Remove, Lord, all cares, concerns, and hindrances from us. A wandering heart, Lord. Lord, we have to pray continually for these mercies, for we are prone to wander, Lord, and far from thee. Oh, do come, Lord, and draw our poor souls unto thyself. And Lord, if there be any who are indeed found so often that their minds are distracted and turned aside, oh, may that prayer be the prayer of their hearts. Draw me, then we will run after thee. Oh, may that be the blessing of each one of us at this time. Oh, we do want to come, Lord, upon this thy day with a felt need of thee. We're poor and destitute in and of ourselves. often finding ourselves to be so spiritually impoverished. And we have to come, Lord, with that prayer. Lord, help me. And oh, we seek that help, that thou, Lord, who art the bread of life, will bless us, Lord, with a mortal, with a morsel of living bread, to feast upon thee, upon thy name, the wonders of thy cross at Calvary. O Lord, what great blessing is here shown unto guilty sinners, that way of salvation through the cross of Jesus, and the whole blessings of a covenant God that belong unto such that have been brought to the blessedness of thy cross to feast upon thy name, and all the gracious promises of a covenant God which are yea and in him. Amen. To the glory of God by us. So, Lord, undertake for us, and do grant to us, Lord, we pray thee, a portion for each one of us, to cause our souls to live, and spiritually upon thyself. O Lord, we pray that we may be drawn into the blessedness of thy word and thy truth, that word that is able to sustain us inwardly and spiritually, to build us up and to edify us in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank thee that thou hast brought us to another Lord's Day in our pilgrimage journey. O Lord, our days are with thee, for the Lord knoweth the days of the upright. And O Lord, our days are with thee. Do grant to us, Lord, those true and thankful hearts, that thou hast brought us to this another day, but another Lord's Day. O Lord, may we know that separation from all things else beside, and help us to enter into a little of that spiritual rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as this day doth typify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead, and then ultimately his ascension into heaven, O Lord, that thou dost ever live to make intercession for us. Thou art our King of kings and Lord of lords, to reign over us and to lead us forth through this barren land, but also, Lord, at this time, to show and reveal unto us the words of this life, that our souls might live and have life more abundantly. Come to each case and need as it doth arise before thy people at this time. Lord, all differing are the needs and the conditions of thy people, Lord. Oh, do come, Lord, we pray, in thine all-sufficiency and fullness, and meet the case and need of each one. And, O Lord, we know of a truth, that there is none that is too far gone out of the way. Oh, such is the blessedness of thy gospel to poor, needy sinners. It was so unto thy servant Paul, truly one who was far gone, and so evil and so arrogant in heart and mind, a persecutor, a blasphemer, and injurious. Oh, how awful and solemn was his case and his condition. But oh, the mercy that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. None too far gone, Lord, but that thou art able to recover, able to restore, and able to bring back, Lord, unto thyself. And so, Lord, whatever our case and our need might be at this time, do, Lord, come, we pray thee, and appear unto each one of us. And, Lord, we come confessing, Lord, our many sins and iniquities, our faults and our failings, our forgetfulness of thee, Lord, and the solemn times and seasons. Our hearts become wayward. Lord, look down upon us in thy rich mercy, and come that where sin abounds, that thy grace might much more abound, we pray thee, and cover all our sins and iniquities. Do undertake for us then, Lord, each one, whatever trouble, whatever burden, whatever sorrow, whatever affliction, Lord, whatever exercise is laid upon our spirit at this time, Lord, come, we pray thee, meet each case and need. Do, Lord, appear in the greatness of thy mercy, and, Lord, bear up and support thy people, may not know deliverance at this time, but, Lord, thou art able, Lord, to uphold and to keep and sustain with some gracious word of promise. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. To support and to comfort the tried and the afflicted of thy people. So do draw near, we pray, at this time. Help us then to worship thee, and to serve thee at this time, and to give glory to thy name. Bless the hymns of praise unto thy name. And do own, Lord, and bless the whole of this service, thy word, Lord, as it is read and before thy people, the solemn truths also that we have read together, those solemn truths concerning those indeed found very solemnly far from thee by and through their sins and iniquities, those defiled with women, Lord, those, Lord, who are of the false witnesses, and those the false prophets, and those all false religion and errors, and the solemn truth of those things that shall come upon all, even the judgment of our God. But, Lord, we thank thee that there are blessings in thy word to those who are indeed the penitent, those are brought to feel their need as sinners, that there is mercy with thee. So, Lord, we do pray that we may be blessed under thy word. Lift up our hearts to thee in praise and blessing to thy name. For, Lord, we have comforts in thy word. We have gracious promises, Lord. Lord, help us to hear and to receive them mixed with faith in our hearts, and that we may be enabled to say those things that we have read together, that it shall be well with us. And at that great day, when thou shalt appear the second time, and without sin unto salvation, so, Lord, do draw near. Lord, pray for thy church and people here as they oft meet together in thy name. Bless them with thy presence, Lord, the anointing of thy Spirit, and all the prayers and the petitions of thy saints that are offered up in this thy house of prayer, to be unto them prayer hearing and prayer answering, Lord, and meet all their needs, we pray thee. We pray, Lord, for a gracious ingathering, Lord. Those, Lord, for whom thou wilt ordain to eternal life, O Lord, may there be many and all anxious souls here at this time, oh, that they may be pressing, Lord, and suing for that mercy that flows through the precious blood of the dear Redeemer. Oh, Lord, may there be those here indeed this day, exercised, burdened with their sin, but fleeing to that only refuge for sinners that the gospel makes known. We pray for the enlarging of thy people here, a gathering in, Lord. And Lord, we pray also for a spiritual prosperity in the souls of thy people, that, oh, that they may be those living stones, those lively stones, built up into that church and temple of the living God, being enjoined together in union and fellowship. And, O Lord, we pray that there may be that spiritual enlightening of their souls, that they may grow in grace and knowledge of thee. So, Lord, be with us and be with each of thy sent servants this day. Help them to minister forth thy gospel grace. And, Lord, give them thy word to feed the gospel poor with spiritual meat and drink. We pray, Lord, be with thy servant now, and help him, Lord, to speak a word in season to the souls of thy people. Speak through him by thy Spirit. Let thy servant decrease in the pulpit. Let Christ increase, and, Lord, in the hearts and lives of thy people here, may sower and reaper rejoice together. May thy name have all the glory and the praise. And we pray, Lord, dwell in the midst of us and ask these blessings for thy great name's sake. Amen.
Hymn 245. We travel through a barren land, with dangers thick on every hand, but Jesus guides us through the veil. The Christian's hope can never fail. 245.
Thank you.
help of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, we would seek to draw your attention to the book of the Revelation, chapter 14, and we will read together from verse 5. I had intended to speak from two verses from this 14th chapter of the book of the Revelation, but in meditating upon the word yesterday, saw that there were so many blessed and gracious truths that are shown to us in the whole of the verses in this chapter 14 down to verse 5. So I will just read verse 5 and seek to open up one or two truths in the previous verses also, and desire to take these verses for our subject today. And in their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. In the chapter 7 that we read together, concerning this 144,000, we were informed that they were those that came through great tribulation. They were those who suffered much by affliction, troubles, and trials here below. We may think of the great cloud of witnesses which we are informed of in chapter 11 of Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. They passed through persecutions, trials, martyrdom, their lives taken. They were those who suffered much for the sake and for the name of the dear Lord Jesus. Their hope was fixed upon him. They endured much. They passed through much. They were burdened. They sorrowed. They were persecuted, reviled. They bore reproach for his name's sake. But then also this, not only those things that would be known and felt and realized outward. We have these truths in respect of the Lord's dear people. They're those that afflicted much in respect of their continued sins, backslidings, their forgetfulness of the Lord, the times and the seasons, when they give him so much the smaller portion in their lives, and they forget the Lord who loved them and gave himself for them. They're wayward, and they are brought to confess so often their failings and shortcomings. But then also, they're those who are spiritually often impoverished, and they have to cry, they have to beg that the Lord will come and quicken them and enliven them. Yes, these are these that came through great tribulation. And so it is today, and we feel so much of our sinnership. We're often confessing, repenting before the throne of grace. We're often begging for mercy like the publican did. And we're often those indeed who our soul lies cleaving to the dust, and we have to beg to the Lord, quicken thou me according to thy word. And there are these also that in them there is no good thing. They discover time and again the solemn truth of the evil of their hearts, that when they would do good, evil is present with them. You see, this will be a continual burden and a sorrow to the Lord's dear people as they continue in their pilgrimage journey. But they came through great tribulation. How did they come through great tribulation? Why, the Lord Jesus said that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Dear friends, who is it that has given them the conquest? Who is it that has brought them through? Who is it that has strengthened them? Who is it that has supported them? Who is it that came to all their help and all their need and helped them to press on toward the mark? He that conquered, dear friends. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the mount. It was the Lamb of God that brought them through, dear friends. They won the conquest. The victory was theirs because of the blessed words in our text. The Lamb that stood on Mount Zion, and he is the one that brought them through all their troubles, all their trials, all their difficulties here below, the Lamb of God. And they accounted it unto him and none other. He gave them the victory. And this is the mercy, friends, that the Lord's dear people shall be blessed with here below, that there is one who has taken upon himself their whole cause and interest here below. No, none shall perish out of his hands, dear friends. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. Ah, dear friends, this is the blessing. We have here the truth of this. A lamb stood on the Mount Zion. This is the gospel church, dear friends, and the Lamb of God in the midst of the gospel church. And this is the blessing that belongs to them, that they were one of this 144,000. And that is their greatest mercy. It wasn't for anything that they have done, anything that they have deserved or merited in and of themselves. No, they were rendered helpless. And they were those brought to nothing in themselves. You see, the mercy here. And then this 144,000 make up the church of the living God, dear friends. Every number of them in this revelation that John saw and beheld, every number of them, dear friends, will come to heaven. Oh, none shall fail to come to that place because God chose them, dear friends. He loved them. And he chose them. Friends, why did he love and choose any one of us? Why, dear friends? Oh, we shall never be able to come to the root and the matter and the answer of that. But it was because he loved us, dear friends. And his love, friends, extended and above all our sins and iniquities, because his love is in the person of his dearly beloved Son. And it is what he came to do for sinners. Just turning to one or two words which just came into our minds in respect of this. In Psalm 132 and verse 13, we have this truth, and we're speaking of Zion, the church, the people of God. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. And friends, that is the beginning of our salvation. Not in any works of righteousness that we have done, what we've deserved. No, he was that one indeed. And before the world began in eternity, that he chose a people for himself, a people whom he would love with an everlasting love, and he cast his love upon them, knowing that they would sin, and yet that love was in Jesus, you see. That is where his love remained upon and towards them, though they were in their sins. His love was in Jesus, the Lamb of God, slain from before the foundation of the world. And then, the blessing and the truth. In Isaiah 59, we have a wonderful truth, a wonderful blessing. In verse 20, Isaiah 59, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Dear friends, isn't it a wonderful truth? The Redeemer came to his church. He came to seek us out and to find us. But he came to lay down his life for us. This is that Lamb of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is that Lamb of God. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. He came to Zion. This is our mercy today. It is a full and a free gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 87, come to another blessed and a glorious truth which bring us a little bit nearer to this 144,000. It is a complete number, a whole number, not exactness in numbers as 144,000, but a perfect number. The whole of God's elect. A number which no man can number. And of Zion it shall be said that this and that man was born in her, and the Lord himself shall establish her. What a mercy that is, dear friends, when God will meet us in our pilgrimage journey here below. He will meet us and stop us in our mad career. Bring us to nothing, dear friends, as he did Saul of Tarsus. Change our hearts. Renew us to bring us back to him. Because, friends, we were far from him in respect of our sins and iniquities. Our sins separated us from him. It was the breach, dear friends, in the Garden of Eden. Our first parents disobeyed the word of God. And oh, they were cast out from the garden, dear friends. We're all sinners. All bear their image by nature. But this is the mercy in respect of the Lamb of God, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And of Zion it shall be said, this and that man was born in her, and the Highest himself shall establish her. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people. The Lord Jesus, then being the Lamb of God, knew all for whom he would suffer, bleed and die at Calvary. This is the number of them that we've read together. 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. is the seal, dear friends, in the foreheads. You may think of the forehead, perhaps that place of knowledge, the mind. And isn't it a wonderful mercy, dear friends, that the cross of Christ is that blessed and glorious place that has been sealed in our poor hearts and minds. Jesus in the sinner's room and place, and the blessedness of his shed blood to cleanse us and to heal us from all sin and iniquity, and to bless us with pardon and peace with God. A blessed and a glorious seal in the soul of a poor sinner. It will remain, as it were, in the forehead all their days. They will never forget the time and the season when the Lord met with them and brought them to himself and espoused them to himself. They will never forget that day, the day of joy, the day of rejoicing. The Ethiopian eunuch went on his way rejoicing. The seal was in his forehead. The glorious cross of Christ was there, blessed to his soul. Dear friends, I do believe it includes that profession of their faith in the Lord Jesus. And it is a seal of God's eternal love to the soul. It is in the person of Jesus. Oh, if we hadn't got these seals, dear friends, in our poor hearts and minds, how could we ever continue, friends, in our pilgrimage journey here below? And with him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their heads. When we read these words, dear friends, was there a little prayer of thankfulness that our names were one of these 144,000? Was there a little thankfulness in our hearts, dear friends, that the Lord should draw near to us, bless us, show us his mercy, bring us and seal us into the covenant of his grace, that we should be blessed forevermore? And dear friends, those that might be seekers here, and I pray that it may be all, was the little prayer that rose out of your spirit as you read this word, Lord, that I might be found one of this number. Oh, that Lord, that I might know thy mercy. Oh, that Lord, that thou wouldest pardon my sins and mine iniquities. That thou wouldest, Lord, look down upon me, unworthy me, vile me, wretched me. That thou wouldest show thy mercy to be one of this number. Is it an anxious thought? Does it bring us near to the Lord and to sue for his mercy, to plead with him? Dear friends, you will never turn away from the prayer of the contrite heart, the humble sinner, the broken sinner. You will never turn away from the prayer of such, dear friends. But pray that this blessing may be toward you. The great mercies that follow. 144,000 having his Father's name written in their foreheads. I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. This is the gospel church, dear friends. And in verse 3, tells you what they were about. and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. That Ethiopian eunuch had a song. He went on his way rejoicing. One of the redeemed of the Lord. The song of the redeemed. Only the redeemed can sing this song. It belongs to them. There was a song of redemption, dear friends. The 15th chapter, the book of Exodus. Their literal deliverance. Children of Israel, from their Egyptian taskmasters, they were in bondage. But the Lord came and delivered them. That song of Moses and the whole of Israel. They sang a song, dear friends, their great deliverance that God had wrought for them. And dear friends, only they knew that song. Only they came into the experience of their deliverance. And spiritually with us today, dear friends, it is the Lord's dear people. Their consciences were cleared of all guilt and defilement, all sin. What a mercy that is. And they were those who knew the blessing of their pardon and peace with God. And this is the song of the redeemed. Freed from all their sins and iniquities. Only they can sing this song. I thought of that hymn, if you excuse me if I just read it all the way through, because it is such a wonderful hymn. It is the song, I believe, of the redeemed. Hymn number 580. My soul, with holy wonder views, the love the Lord the Saviour shows to wretched dying man. So strange, so boundless is his grace. He takes the vilest of our race with him to live and reign. He'll charm them with a holy kiss and make them know what union is. He'll draw them to his breast, a smiling eye upon them cast, which brings them to his feet in haste, each singing, I am blessed. I'm blessed, I'm blessed, forever blessed. My rags are gone, and I am dressed in garments white as snow. I'm married to the Lord the Lamb, whose beauties I can ne'er explain, nor half his glory show. A song of redemption, dear friends. And what a mercy it is that we can betimes come before the Lord and sing the song of the redeemed. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and elders. And no man could learn that song. You see, it isn't learned by nature, by the natural man. No, dear friends, it is the Lord, the Holy Spirit. It is his work and his power alone that shall bring the sinner to God, to renew them, to bring them to live again spiritually upon himself. No, dear man, it isn't, friends, it isn't by the will of man or of blood or of flesh, but it is of God. And friends, no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. I pray that every one of us here, young and old, may be those that shall be enabled to sing this song of the redeemed. Pray for it, dear friends. Seek it. It is the greatest blessing that can be conferred upon any poor needy sinner to sing the song of the redeemed. They were redeemed from the earth. That is what it says. They were redeemed from the earth. Well, that's where we were bound, wasn't it? That's where we were held. I think of that in this word that Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, chapter 1 and verse 7, where we have the truth of this shown to us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That word redemption means, dear friends, a coming out, a losing away, a delivering from. That's what it means. And when you consider the truth of that, this is the precious blessing that belongs to the church through the blood of the Lamb of God, that by and through the Spirit the poor sinner was brought to this place. They were being drawn away from this world, from the earth, from their sins, from Satan, the yoke of Satan. They were being loosed and brought away. This is the redemption that is in Jesus. And this is the work of grace in the soul, redeemed from the earth. Friends, there must be a severance, a separation, dear friends. But what a mercy it is. What grace is able to do. Invincible grace. Bring us, dear friends, away from this world, away from self, from all the pleasures of this life, from all its vanity, from all its evil, from the earth. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And so that is the truth, dear friends. They were redeemed from the earth. And what a mercy it is that, dear friends, this earth holds nothing for the soul of a poor sinner. Paul could say, forgetting those things that are behind, reaching forth to those things that are before, I press toward the mark of the prize. Ah, what a mercy it is to be brought away from self, to be delivered from our sins. Redemption, a bringing out and a gathering in. This is the blessing which were redeemed from the earth. And then I believe that word is shown to us in Hebrews, not in Hebrews, in the Revelation chapter 5, that we were redeemed from the earth. But then this blessing in chapter 5 and verse 9, we have this truth, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. You see, redeemed from the earth, but redeemed unto God, brought to God. And that is the reconciling blood of the dear Redeemer, dear friends, that has brought us to God. Adoption. That is another word. Their names written in the Father's name written in their foreheads. The blessedness of adoption. The children of God. So this is the blessing. And we're redeemed from the earth. We see this being redeemed from the earth in the little enclosure of his grace here today. The true worship and devotion and love to his name, where we are found, those now brought to the feet of Jesus to serve and to worship him. and friends, this earth, is that, dear friends, yes, we have to live here and abide here and be about many things here, but we hold it with a loose hand. And this is the blessing that we have today. A day in thy courts is better than 1,000, dear friends. 1,000 days in the world, if you like. But a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. Have we anticipated this day? Have we prayed for this day? I went to a minister's meeting, I may have mentioned it before, and the subject was prayer. And one of them said, how often during the days of the week are we praying for the Lord's Day? Well, dear friends, it's a blessing and a mercy to be able to pray for the Lord's Day. It's a day, friends, to be separated, and a day to draw near to the Lord, and a day to worship Him. May this be our prayer, because this is a separation today. Separation from this world, from the things of time and sense, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women. Women is a type of the church. I know that it isn't that is in this subject as it is now, but women are a type of the church. We have the truth of that in Psalm 45, verse 13. The king's daughter, you see, the king's daughter is all glorious within. And then in the Song of Solomon, we have the daughters of Jerusalem. And then another blessed and a glorious truth in verse 6 of the Song of Solomon. I just can't bring it into my mind just at the moment, but it is a glorious truth in chapter 6 and verse 1. Whither is thy beloved gone, O thou fairest among women? Ah, dear friends, this is the church. O thou fairest among women. You see, the Lamb's wife. He's the husband of the church. Just to confirm that truth in Isaiah 54. For thy maker is thine husband. You see, dear friends, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, married to Christ. This is the church. And so, dear friends, the church are the Lamb's wife. And so, a woman, you see, often symbolizes the church. Daughters of Jerusalem. And we may see it in this sense also. The woman is the weaker vessel, you see. And this is the church in this world. They're the weaker vessel, dear friends. They're the ones, dear friends, who are brought often times to see their nothingness, their emptiness. These are those that can't do anything without the Lord. These are those who are the weak and the helpless in this world. These are those who are the poor and the needy, dear friends. You see, the woman being the weaker vessel, the church are the weaker vessel, but we have the dear Lord Jesus. You see, He is our all and everything, and this is our mercy today. If the church have got any strength of their own, dear friends, they'll get into trouble for it. Ah, what a mercy it is to be the weak and the poor and the helpless and the humble. Ah, it is a great mercy, dear friends, and sometimes we will have to pray for that. But it is the best place to be found in, dear friends, because we shall always be dependent upon the Lord and look to him for all our help and need and all our strength. Dear friends, that is our mercy. But this word here, these are they which were not defiled with women. It has a particular reference, dear friends, to all the corruptness and the deceit that is found today in the false prophets, the false teachers, those indeed who are found under the headship of Satan. I just remember right that Satan and all his ministers, all the false teachers, wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth, but what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. And he's speaking of the false teachers and the prophets, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They're deceivers, dear friends. The Lord himself has sent his ministers and his servants to preach his gospel in the earth. They are appointed divinely by heaven. It is a heavenly calling. And hear them. Jesus has sent them. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Dear friends, are we building upon that rock, Christ Jesus, that sure foundation? Is this our house that we're building upon? Not the house of the false prophets and the teachers, built upon sandy ground, dear friends. The winds, the rains came and it fell. No, dear friends, this is the word. And Jesus Christ is the word in the gospel. We have the scriptures of truth. Let us abide by it, dear friends. These are they which were not defiled with women. You see, they corrupt the word of God. They're the deceivers, the workers of iniquity. I just turn to that Gospel of Matthew chapter 7 at the close of the Sermon on the Mount. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? And then, not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. But what a mercy it is. These he will profess before his heavenly Father. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew, the deceivers, the temptations, the trials and the difficulties, but that house stood. Friends, are we building our poor souls upon this rock? Friends, let us not be deceived by the workers of iniquity and those that have corrupted the word of God. Dear friends, many today, and yes, I may make names, yes, the Roman Church today, deceivers, corruptors of the word of God. And many, dear friends, I say this truth. Search the scriptures. Dear friends, like the Bereans, if we become in doubt in anything, now speak to our young people that are gathered here. There are many deceivers. And there are many that will speak, dear friends, of a way to God. And I I think of those climbing up some other way in the Gospel of John chapter 10, that they must enter in by the door into the sheepfold, not climb up any other way. It's an easy believism that is about today, dear friends. Do not let it corrupt your minds. Seek the Lord and seek His Word. Look to His Word. Pray over the Holy Spirit to lead and to direct. Let Him be the teacher. Let Him show thee that way that is right and that way that is good and pleasing to Him. These are they which were not defiled with women. I just want to make mention upon this point, the church at Galatia, they were blessed. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? You see, dear friends, they had been blessed. The cross of Christ. And that is where the whole of our salvation is found. There is all the blessedness of the gospel flows out from Christ's cross. And yet those deceivers had come in amongst them. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? Who hath turned you aside? They were turning back to the law. Dear friends, I want to be very thankful for this, that these were those which were not defiled with women, false teachers and false prophets. Remain steadfast with the Lord and under His word of truth. Seek Him, dear friends, in His word and look to Him. And every matter, pray over it, dear friends, but do not be deceived. I've had to instruct one or two young people in one or two of our chapels. I'm not connected with the chapel, but I did feel that I had to instruct them for this simple reason. There were those younger people, they were those of their own age that were teaching them scripture. There was no foundation in what they were saying. And they were ready to turn aside, dear friends. Ready to depart from that right way, from that good way, which the Lord will teach His people. May the Lord keep us and preserve us to Himself. And under the blessings of His gospel. And remembering this, that we walk in a new and a living way, that way that has been cast up by Jesus, it is a way, dear friends, to heaven, to the blessedness and the glory of being one of this number, this 144,000. Our time has gone. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £560, for which we are very thankful. And God willing, Mr. Hintz hopes to administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service, and there will be a prayer meeting tomorrow evening with an address by Mr. Pickett. Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and God willing, Mr. Richard Field is expected next Lord's Day and hopes, if well enough, to address the Sunday School. Let us close with hymn 552. The Lord's my helper and support, my saviour and my friend. He bears my sinking spirits up and will my soul defend. 552.
Those things that have been attended to in thy name. Pardon all that has been amiss with us. Take us to our homes in peace and safety. Be with us in the interval. Bring us unto the evening sacrifice, if it be thy gracious will. Now may thy grace, Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, fellowship and communion of God the Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon each one of us, now and forever. Amen.